Hold on,
okay.
Though.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is working all the time. This will be my second hour on the air today because I just came home from television. And I had to come home in a pouring rain. And we barely got up on the radio station. But you know, God is good all the time. And we just want to welcome you. And we're going to pray. Father, we open this radio program with your love and your power over the people. And we take authority over every Bozy spirit, every witchcraft spirit. And Satan, you are a liar and the father of it. You have no authority and no power over the Christians' lives that we're talking to tonight. We give you glory and praise, God, that you will bring people with needs and you will bring the prayer warriors to pray for them. We thank you that you're opening up our hearts and our understanding to deeper depths of the Spirit as we join you each week. We give you praise and glory, dear God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for Brother Marshall and his family and Dr. Sabrina and Brother Bill and his family and his wife and Pastor Williams and his family and all of the people that work on this program, and we give you praise and glory for what you will do for us. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all of the miracles that we've seen you do and all of the wonderful deliverances, hallelujah, that we've been fortunate enough to witness. And, Father, you know this is a needed ministry for this hour of time. And we pray for the people listening all over the world, the people in their bedrooms, in their living rooms, in their cars, wherever they go, God, we pray for them. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you are with us and that you are motivating us and that you're bringing in souls for the glory of God. Time is short. And you promised that you would give us a harvest of the heathen. And that's exactly what we're after. We thank you, Father, for the givers of this radio program, the ones that have given and the ones that will give. And, Father, for the ones that have called in and gotten deliverance, we ask that you open up all of our understanding to spiritual warfare, so that we can walk this out and come out the other end, and you'll be there with your arms wide open waiting for us. So we're going to talk about demons today, but before we talk about demons, there has been a lot of people that have come through Blog Talk that have received deliverance. And I just want to give a little bit of advice before we go deeper into this subject. Now, your deliverance has been won by a lot of prayer warriors all over the world. We don't take credit for it. We just pray, and the Lord does the work. But as we pray, the Bible says that He hears our prayers. So if you have received deliverance, you need to begin to thank the Lord. And then you need to take spiritual action for yourself. Deliverance can be lost in one moment of defeat. Jesus gave a solemn warning that when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, let me read the scripture for you in Matthew 12:43-45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished, and they enter in. Wait just a minute, I missed. And they enter in and dwell there. Now, if you don't keep your Christian life up, is what this scripture is saying, then the demon comes back and he looks and he sees if you're standing. Now, what that means is, let's say you were an alcoholic and you were a drinker, you came for deliverance, the demons were cast out, and then the next day or so, you just go back and drink again. All those, that demon comes back with seven worse spirits. So you need to keep your spiritual life up, and you keep it up by being close to the Lord so that that spirit cannot return if your house is filled with the things of God. And so then that scripture in verse 45 says, then goeth he if you are not filled up, swept and garnished, if you're empty, in other words, then that demon will go find seven more worse spirits, and they will return. So Jesus said the man was empty. He had not done his part. He had filled him, if he had filled himself with the Word of God and Jesus, the devil couldn't have come back. So you need to keep in mind that this is a work that's done between you and Jesus. The deliverance ministry can just tell you how it works, pray for you, and we can charge the demons and make them leave. But we cannot make you live for God. You have to make that choice yourself. So, in order for a person to become free, they must be born again. That's why when we minister to people, you see that we carefully lead them to the Lord so that they are born again, and then we lead them to be filled with the Holy Spirit and tell them to go get into the Word of God. Now, if you do not give yourself God's word regularly, you're in a very dangerous position. Your body is the temple for God. And when your sign says vacancy, then the devils freely come and enter in. So you fill yourself with fellowship with God and His word and living as best you can close to God, and you'll stay free. Now, once you get delivered, the demons come, and what they do is they attack you. They try to harass you. They're trying to get you back. And so you immediately learn what I call spiritual warfare. You learn self-defense. Now, one of the things you can do is to praise the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. So if you're praising the Lord, the devil is not going to stay around you because God's spirit comes and the devil's going to flee. That's one of your spiritual weapons. And then singing hymns. Singing songs, for instance, about the blood of Jesus, it helps you because the devil hates the blood of Jesus, and he just doesn't want to listen to that stuff. He's already gotten it out of most of your contemporary churches today because he hates the blood of Jesus. So he's got little rock bands in there or contemporary stars in there that think that they're somebody, and everybody's clapping and raising their hands. Not to Jesus, but to the star. Let me tell you something. Sing hymns. Find some hymns with the blood of Jesus in it. He truly does hate that. Now, another thing you can do is quote scripture. You know, Jesus quoted scripture to the devil when he defeated him up on the mountaintop. He kept saying, "It is written, it is written." What he was doing, he was quoting the scriptures in the Old Testament because that's the Word of God. And so Then another thing is praying in tongues. You see, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says that it builds you up in your most holy faith. And in addition to that, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will take over and begin to pray in tongues through you, and he puts the devil to flight. So that's another thing that you can do. And then I've already told you that tongues edifies you. That means that tongues builds you up in your most holy faith. And it helps to guide us into the Lord and what the Lord is saying. In Jude 20, you can read that later. Now, memorize the scriptures every day. Get your Bible out and zero in on a scripture that is going to be beneficial to you. If you have a health problem, memorize scriptures about healing until you get that. If you have a sin problem, find scriptures that cover that situation, and so on and so forth. And memorize. Start putting the word inside of your spirit, and you'll find out that it's very, very powerful defense. Then you can plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. There's a lot of Christians that say, I don't believe that. I don't see that in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. And it says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So you're speaking the blood of the Lamb over you and the power of that blood to cover you from the powers of the devil. And of course, you speak the word of your testimony. Now, when a person gets born again, the hardest thing that they find in the beginning is to confess their testimony to someone else. The devil will try to hinder that because he knows that by you speaking and saying, I found the Lord helped me, whatever the testimony is, the devil knows that that gives you power and strength. And so he'll try to hinder you, but you just overcome and just go testify about Jesus anyway. Now, the truth is that Jesus wants to save you. If you're not trusting in Christ as Lord and Savior, you need him. God's solution is salvation by grace through faith. Make a decision to trust God and trust him for the result. Don't pray vain prayers saying, well, maybe God will hear this prayer, but maybe he won't. God hears your prayers, and you're ministering to a God that's able to do above all that you can even think of. Hallelujah for that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So, if you haven't received Jesus, all you have to do is right now, you just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come in and to my heart and be my personal Savior. And Lord Jesus, I forgive myself and I open my heart today for you. Help to make me a good Christian, Lord Jesus. And you know what? You call on Jesus when you confess your sins to Jesus and receive him. Then the Lord will take you from that moment and he'll begin to walk with you. Now, the Bible says that in order to be saved, the first thing you have to do is you have to repent. So all you do is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come in and save me. I forgive myself. And that means I'm going to turn around and live for you. And then you say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And if you've backslidden, you do that very same thing. And what you're going to find is that the Lord is going to come and he's going to stand with you. He's going to teach you. He's going to help you. He will send workers in the field to help you. So Deliverance Ministry is a ministry that has the most extraordinary spiritual power of any of the gifts of the Spirit. It is a supernatural ministry, and this ministry has power over the powers of hell if you're connected to Jesus. And it's a ministry that also has power with God. Now, you see, it's really true that Jesus left a supernatural power and fearsome supernatural power in his church. When you read Matthew 28, 18 and 20, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." I am lo with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus, this is our what we call our Great Commission, and Jesus is telling us here that he's giving us the power to go, and that power is above all the power on the earth and in the universe as you go forth to teach the nations and to tell them about Jesus, the Son and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe his commandments so that they can make eternity with you. So the Bible tells us that Jesus began to teach his disciples the deliverance ministry, and he asked this very insightful question. He says, and it's in Matthew 29, he says, "How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man?" And then Jesus told us that we could enter the house in chapter 12:29. He says, "Bind the strong man." That's how you do it. You bind the strong man before any warfare of opposing powers and principalities, wicked rulers, evil spirits can be won to release the nations, cities, individuals, families. The strong man must be defeated. Now, let me just point out a few things of what I just said. You see, when you come on the scene to start a battle with the devil for a soul, he's ready to meet you. And one of you is going to win the battle. It'll either be the devil or you. But if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and if you know the map or the manual of spiritual warfare and demonology, you can win every battle. There's just no question about that. But you've got to do it God's way. It can't be what you like. It can't be what you think you like. It can't be that, well, you like this man, what he says there, and you like that woman because what she said. No, you've got to make sure that who you're listening to and what they're saying is founded in the Word of God. Amen. So the first thing Jesus said that you have to do is to bind the strong man's house. Before you can enter in, you've got to bind the strong man, and he's in the house of an individual, or he's in the house of a government, a city, a family, a church. He's controlling those places. So you have to go in and take his goods away from him. You got to bind him up first. Now, Satan is not going to let you go in to take away his goods very easily. He's going to put up a battle. He's going to put up a battle with the person that's been delivered, and he's going to put up a battle with the person that's delivering them. And so the person that delivers has to learn to walk in the spirit. They have to learn self-defense, because if you don't, he's going to battle you, and he will keep you tired, weary. He will take your faith, all sorts of things that he does. He will even put sickness on you. He'll make you miss meetings. He'll deafen you so you can't hear the word. It's a battle to be a minister. And the first thing that you have to learn is to stand against the wiles of the devil for yourself. And if this isn't working in your own personal life, don't go trying to tell other people what to do if you're not winning the battle in your own life. Because to be honest with you, Jesus is a victorious God. But, you know, if you haven't gotten to the level where you have control and power over your own personal life, you're not ready to go and cast out devils in someone else's. Because the devil knows exactly where you are in the spirit. So what I would tell you is learn, and learn well, and then practice what you hear. You know, when Richard Vineyard told me many years ago, he was teaching us how to bind and loose the devils. Richard Vineyard, I went up to him and I said, "Brother Vineyard, how long does the devil stay bound?" He looked at me with his piercing eyes. God told me later that what it was, that he had supernatural eyes. Because I said, "Why does his eyes look so weird?" And the Lord said he can see into the spirit realm. And so sometimes if somebody can see into the spirit realms, their eyes look a little funny. They look a little different than other people's eyes. Amen. So, but anyway, just wait until you ever look into Bishop Kanko's eyes. Oh, my God. But anyway, so let's see. I got diverted on some little side avenue. Make sure. How long does the demon stay in there? Okay. He looked at me with those piercing eyes, and he said, "Forever." And then he looked at me a minute, and he said, "If you can believe that." I said, "Oh, I can believe that. I can believe that." But you see, I had seen Christians just binding the same devils over and over and over. And so I can believe that when I speak to a devil and tell him he's bound forever. And that makes your spiritual warfare a lot lighter if you know that, and if that happens for you. Amen? So then once you go in to the strong man's house and you bind the strong man, and you're binding him what? Over an individual, over a nation, over a city, over a family, or over yourself, what happens is the strong man will be defeated. And you may have to, in the beginning, just continue to speak to that strong man. Continue to bind that strong man. Because, see, you have to get to a level of your faith where you really believe it, that it's not more than it's more than words just to you. As you begin to see the reactions and the results of your words, then your faith will grow with the word of God in your lips. Amen? So Satan, he's not going to let anyone come in and destroy his enslaving influences without putting up a very strong opposition in Matthew 12:23-33. His dominating power must first be deactivated before a Christian can release the devil's caged victims. Now, let's talk about the cage thing just for a moment. You see, the devil cages people, and witches cage people. They will speak and command devils to go and put a cage around a person. And so if a witch or a wizard has put a cage around you, then you're going in this direction and bumping up against a wall, or this other direction and bumping up against the wall, that just doesn't ever seem to work out for you. But you have to learn to tear down the cages over your own life. Always everything starts with you first. And when you see these things working in your life, then God will eventually move you up and let you work with other people. If you're a new Christian, always work with a person that has been in this a long time. If you're lucky or fortunate enough to find one, there's very few people, and learn. And you see, it's like when you learn from Pat Holliday and Dr. Sabrina, you're learning with a ministry that's tested. It's not a ministry that just took up and started casting devils out. It's a ministry that's been over in the third world countries where demons are really, really powerful. And you better know what you're doing when you go to Africa, or when you go down into Barbados, or down into the Caribbean, or Trinidad, or even Italy, any place. Because when you go to third world countries, there are witches and wizards that know what they're doing. And they will come into a meeting, if they hear a deliverance ministry is around, they'll come into that meeting to test your powers, to see if you've got what you say you've got. We know a man that almost lost his life over in Africa, and we had to literally pray him out of Africa. But this was one of these wishy-washy American men that decided that he wanted to go to Africa. And he already thought he was a big deal, had a little few bucks. And so he goes over there and he starts going down on the beach and playing around with the women with the bikinis on. And pretty certain he was having sex with some of them. And just, you know, the bishop went to him and he said, "Look, you're in Africa." He said, "We don't do those things over here." And he said, "AIDS is one of our major problems. You cannot come over to Africa and do the things that you do over in America." And so finally, the guy got out of Africa, but just by the skin of his teeth did he get out. Now, you're watching for New York, right? Okay, so I'm not going to bother about that then, Sabrina. And so the point being is you do your warfare for yourself first. You see, we believe, for instance, that marriage is a very sacred institution. It's the first institution that God made. And so just because you get this unhappy with your wife, you can't just get up and leave without a fight. You have to war those devils. I had to war the devils in my husband for years, believe me. And so you have to learn to war in your own life before you reach out and give other people advice. Amen? And so the devils cage you. Now, how did they cage you? What does exactly that mean? They cage you your money. They cage your job situations. They cage your family. They cage your husband. They cage your jobs. every area where you're supposed to be successful, they'll put cages around those places, and you will not be able to tap into the things that God has for you. So you have to learn to break the powers of the devil over your life and the powers of the witches and wizards over your life and break down their walls and their cages. Amen. So the most powerful spiritual weapon is binding and caging, which simply means arresting or stopping the strong man. Just like the devil, if he gets you caged, he can take your goods and he can tie those goods up so that you cannot get them. Well, you've got to bind and tie up his goods, and you've got to arrest him by putting him in the cage. So much better than him putting you in a cage is what I say. So in Matthew 18:18, 19, and 20, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bound on earth shall be bound in heaven." Now, what's going on there? Well, you're on the earth and you're speaking the word, "Satan, I bind you and I bind your power and I command you to loose this person." So you have bound the devil, you have commanded him to loose his goods. But then the scripture goes on, "Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so what does that mean? Again, you are loosening. You're saying you loose this woman, and I command that you be bound, and you're going to loose her. You're going to free her. That's what that means. And so what's happening is this: whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Who's in heaven? That's Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And when you speak the words on the earth, Jesus is sitting in his throne, and he's in agreement with you, and he is binding that devil with his word. And who's subjected to the word of God? The angels. So what happens is when you speak, "I bind you, Satan," then Jesus says, "And I agree, you're bound." Then the devil, the angels run, bind that spirit and cage it. In other words, God looks over his word to perform it. And if you're doing the word of God, he's there in agreement with you. Amen. I had a woman to walk out of the ministry Sunday. And believe me, I can tell you why pastors don't get into the deliverance ministry. Because people are stupid, okay? And when Pastor Dennis walked out and said, "Why did you leave?" She says, "I don't see Jesus binding. I don't see that in the Bible." Well, Jesus is the one that taught it, okay? But the point is she says, "I'm a prophetess." And she said, "And I cast out demons, and I even cast them out of unbelievers." Well, you know you're talking to a perfect idiot by the time she gets to that point. And I feel sorry for her. I do feel sorry for her. But when people today are walking around calling themselves apostles and prophets and prophetesses, and then when you talk to them, they don't know scratch about beans. And you look at it and you say, "You know something? You will not sit under the word of God and be taught. How can you say that you're a prophetess when you need to know the word of God before you get out there?" But I got off of a sideline again. But the point is Jesus is the one that is teaching whatsoever you shall bind on earth, that's whatsoever you shall speak to and bind it up and tie it up, then I'll bind it up in heaven. And when Jesus speaks, the angels run to him to do the bidding of his word. And so then Jesus said, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So again, you loose that person from the hole and out of the cages of the devil. And what happens is Jesus speaks the words that you spoke. Again, the angels go in and they loose the person. They tear down the cage and said, now you're free. Now, in spiritual warfare, it's always good to go in twos. It's not wise for Christian ministers to travel around without someone traveling with them, because sometimes you just really do need what we call a witness. What is that song, Sabrina? Can I get a witness? Because the devil is very sly, and the Bible says that God sent him out by twos. And so, but anyway, let me get on down this pathway. So it says in verse 19, again I say unto you, if any of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. So there you are again. What you're doing on earth, you're working in conjunction with the powers in heaven. And you have a direct connection to heaven. You see, you don't have to take my word for it. It's in the Bible. I remember when Omega Man and I first started out and casting out devils on the radio, there was a little group of people, and we were trying to teach them to bind the devils, and they got angry, and they led a revolution against the program because they didn't believe the binding thing. Well, see, a lot of people don't believe binding and loosening because they've never heard it taught in the churches. I went to a church where the preacher said that binding and loosening has nothing to do with the devil, when it has everything to do with the devil. And so, but let me get down. So one of the strongest principles that you can find in the Bible is binding the strong man. It's one of the first basic principles of your spiritual warfare. Before any warfare of opposing powers and principalities and rulers and evil spirits can be won to release cities, nations, individuals, families, the strong man has to be defeated, according to Matthew 18:20. Now, once the Satan's power is bound, then the minister freely enters into his house and carries off Satan's possessions, according to scriptures. You do it. You speak the word of God to bind the demons, and Jesus backs your word up, executing his judgment upon the demons. The territory is delivered to Jesus Christ, and the devil loses control. Now, to me, of course, I've been doing these things for some over 35 years. And so to me, this is very clear, and I'm trying to make it as simple as I can so that you get it. Because if you can get this one principle tonight, it's going to revolutionize your personal relationship with the Lord, because there's so many times that you don't seem to be able to knock the door down, so to speak, to get to the Lord. And if that's happening to you, it just means there's a wall up between you and the Lord. And God didn't put the wall there. So all you have to do is break that wall down through the power that Jesus has given you to break the wall down. And what do? You speak to the wall. Remember the Jericho walls. God told them, he said, go out and go around and shout, what, 7 times? So they ran out and they shouted at that wall 7 times, and the wall came crashing down. So that's the same principle that we're talking about. God tells us to speak, and when we do it his way, he backs our words up if we do it just exactly what he tells us in the words to do. So Satan's power is bound, and then Jesus enters into his captured house and carries off his possessions. And what's his possessions? His possessions are the people that he has ensnared in the powers of darkness. His possessions could be the money that he's stolen from you over the years. You know, Satan has stolen millions of dollars from Christians, and it never dawns on them that they can get that money back. The Bible says in Psalms, I think it's 21 from memory, but somebody looked up, you can't trust numbers with me. I'm not a numbers person. But anyway, I think it's over in either Psalms or Proverbs from memory. But you catch a thief and he has to pay you back 7 times. And so now that you're born again, and now that you know that the devil has stolen from you, and as you're going to get in agreement with the Lord, you're going to get in agreement with the Lord with your finances. You're going to get in agreement with the Lord about your giving. You're going to get in agreement with the Lord that he wants you to be able to have a witness that things have changed for the better in your life. As you begin to flow in agreement with Jesus and agreement with his word, then you can say, Lord, I'm broke. Remember, this is what Sabrina and I do a lot. We used to pay our way around the world because we didn't have big givers in our ministry. We still don't. But we would go to Africa. She would buy her ticket, and I would buy my ticket, and then we'd take a few extra $1,000 with us, and we thought we were taking it to buy things, but we'd get over there and give it in to the ministries because they were so poor, and we would come home with our suitcases empty because we would usually give them all of our clothes. We would give them all of our makeup, all of our jewelry.
Projectors.
We learned not to wear real jewelry. We would give them our projectors, yes, everything. And we'd come home with empty suitcases because we would leave the goods over there. And so when we have needs, we remind the Lord. We say, Lord, remember when we did this. Remember when we gave that. And we remember. Well, you see, if we remember, God remembers, right? And so we put a claim on our spiritual bank accounts. And when we start praying about that, we both get in agreement and fully believe that God is going to give back to us what we gave to him for those ministers and for those people in need over there. And so what I'm telling you is to learn to move in the spirit. You don't send a dollar bill to a preacher begging on the TV, send me a dollar and God's going to give you 100-fold. That isn't what the Bible says at all. We give because God has led us to give. And we give because of the fact that we love God, and we're going to do what God tells us to do. And so if God tells you to give, give. if God doesn't tell you to give, don't give. And that way you're going to be very, very safe. And I'm just trying to teach the word as I go along. This is not the Bless Me Club here. This is what the word of God has to say. Amen. And so Satan bound your goods. After you get saved, sometimes people get poorer after they get saved than they were before they got saved. That was my case. And so what do? Whatsoever you bind on earth, okay, Satan has your goods. He's got them in his storehouse. You say, I bind you and your powers over the goods that you have stolen from me over these years, in Jesus' name. And then, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And you command him. You say, Satan, you will loose that. I have need of that, and you will loose it in the name of Jesus. In other words, you're putting a spiritual claim on your spiritual bank account. Your spiritual bank account consists of all of the things that you have done for the Lord, in addition to all of the finances that you have put in the kingdom of God. So you have a spiritual bank account that you have made deposits in, and you can say, God, I have need. And God will open up and give that money. You know, in the spirits under the sea, the water spirits, one of the things that the wizards had told me over in Africa was that they like to steal people, Christians' finances, and they put it in a spiritual bank under the sea. That's what he told me. So I'm sure that I've got spiritual money under the sea that have been stolen from me. So I command devil, Sabrina and I today, come into one accord, and we command the devil to loose the finances out of our bank account that he has stolen from us, and bring it to us in the name of Jesus. And at the same time, we're praying for every single person that has a need here tonight. If you're a Christian, we're coming in agreement with you, and we agree that God is going to make those devils release that finances that he has stolen from you. Now, Sabrina and I, we also bind up the spirit called Mammon.
Yes.
Because the spirit called Mammon is the chief over finances in the other world, in the demonic world. And so he has his minions that he sends forth to steal finances from the Christians. So you bind the power of Mammon over your finances after you bind the strong man. And the strong man is you're binding Satan, and then you're binding the chief that has your finances stolen by his minions, the demons. And so that's the way you work, and you do it with help. You do it with your job situation. Okay, let's talk about that. You go out on your job, and there's a witch on the job. Well, and this has happened many times because we have to deal with this as pastors. The person goes on the job. There's a witch on the job. And before the Christian gets to the job in the morning, the witch has gone to her desk or his desk, anointed the desk, planted rituals, planted objects around, hidden in the desk drawers or what have you. They've anointed that person's desk. They have opened the ears to the boss to take complaints against the Christian. So what happens is the Christian comes and says, oh, what am I going to do, Pastor? There's a witch, and she's been talking against me to my boss. And I'm about to be fired. And I said, well, you're about to be fired because you don't understand spiritual warfare. Instead of her running you off, you ought to be running her off. Oh, how do I do that? You outthink her spiritually. You go and you anoint her desk with the oil, and you bless her desk, and you command those demons that are operating in her to be bound, and you forbid those devils from operating against you in the name of Jesus. And what you do is you release conviction of God over this person that they will change and turn. Now, if they don't change and turn, then what you have to do is you say, Jesus, this woman or this man has risen up against me, and they have done rituals and prayers and all sorts of things, gossip and slander against me, and I belong to you. And you gave me this job, and I ask you to convict that person and save them from themselves. If they continue, I ask you to move them out of the company. Well, next thing you know, that person's gone. You're still sitting there with your job. You're supposed to be victorious in Christ Jesus. You're the one that has the anointing and the powers to put the devils to flee. They should not be taking you to task. You should be taking them to task. And you taking them to task, friends, is not in the physical realm. You don't go to them and say, look, I'm a Christian. I'm going to beat you up. I've got more power. No, you don't say anything to them. You only thing you say to a lost person is Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. That's it. The other stuff is just braggadocio, and God just isn't even paying any attention to you when you say it. And the devils are laughing at you because they know you're ignorant when you come across that way. That's not what spiritual power is about. It's beating them in the spiritual realm. When you tie up those devils in the spiritual realm and you release the power of God over those situations, you ask your Father to send the warring angels into that job and war against those devils that are warring against you, and you've anointed the oil, and you plead the blood of Jesus over that place. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't like these things. And you're over with your little earphone, with your blood, the blood songs going in your ear. Do you know that the demons can hear that even though it isn't out loud? They can hear that in the name of Jesus. So you do the warfare, and God will do the job, you see. So this spiritual warfare is real, and it works. And so what it gets down to is once you bind Satan's power, Jesus enters and captures the house and carries off his possessions. Well, now, if God's got his possessions, what's he going to do with them? Well, he's going to do the same thing he did in the Old Testament. If you're in agreement with him, and if you understand the spiritual laws, and the spiritual law is this. Remember Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat's country was under attack, and he was backslidden. His army was backslidden. His people were backslidden. So Jehoshaphat called the people together, and he prayed with them and called them to fast because the Philistines were coming. And he knew that he was going to lose the battle unless he could get a hold to God's ear. So what he did is he told the praisers, the ones that praise God in the temple, to go to the front lines and praise the Lord. So the praisers went to the front line and started praising the Lord, and Jehoshaphat and the people prayed and interceded and fasted. And then God said, now go to the front lines. They got to the front lines, and there, behold, Hallelujah. The devils in those people had caused confusion in the enemy camp, and they rose up and started fighting each other. And by the time Jehoshaphat got to the front lines, the enemy were all strewn out on the ground dead. So then what did they do? They went in and they gathered the spoils. That means they gathered all of the jewelry, all of the money, whatever those people had, they gathered. And they came back rejoicing, praising the Lord, and they came by the temple, and they left their 10% at the temple, and they took the 90% home to their homes. That's the way it works, my friend. That's the way it works, and it still works that way. So you need to understand that the word is true, and we just need to know what to do. Amen? So it happens. All of this stuff happens through the power of the words of the Bible that are spoken directly to the demons in the name of Jesus and his word. It is the minister acting upon the spiritual authority that Jesus delegated to those who believe. Now, he's sitting in the heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father, and all authority in the universe is his. That's the authority on the earth and the authority in the universe. There's no devil bigger than Jesus. There's no devil that can resist your spiritual warfare and your commanding powers if you stand against him. Now, you might have to stand against him until you believe the word. You see, when we first got into the deliverance ministry, we used to have to spend hours casting out a devil. And now we just speak and it flees. Because not that the devil was stronger back then, it's that we didn't have the faith when we were younger. But after seeing so many devils leave when we've done deliverance, they don't stay around, friends. They take off. Amen? And so you have to build your faith, and your faith has to be built in the name of Jesus and the Word of God. And then the Bible says that Jesus delegated his authority and his power to those who believe. I'll tell you a little thing that happened the other day. My son, he and his friend has this little store, and they just opened it. And so I came over to see what they were doing. And so as I got ready to leave, I started to walk out, and the Lord said, "No, no, no, no." He said, "Bless it." So I turned around and I went back and I said, "The Lord wants me to bless this place." So I said, I released the blessing of God over this place. And I turned around. Before I got a third of a block away, a man came in and purchased about $5,000 worth of stuff. You see, there really is a blessing and there really is a curse. And God wanted to demonstrate to Alex, hey, she released a blessing. And he was just absolutely amazed. He said, it worked. So it does work, doesn't it? And so he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, releasing his power, which he's above all the power in the universe, to defeat the devil. Then imprison the territory. You defeat the devil, and then you take the territory. You imprison, it is delivered to you, and then the devil loses his control and power over that territory. So spiritual warfare works with the ministry in partnership with Jesus, and he's the head partner. You've seen these little cars riding around and says, Jesus is my co-pilot. No, Jesus is not your co-pilot. Jesus is the pilot. Amen? And then you're able to defeat the devil. So the power of loosening and binding is a real honest to God weapon in the Word of God. And again, Jesus gives Christians authority, and all authority is invested in him to do what? To go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. And then what? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they shall drive out demons. In Mark 16, verses 15 through 17. So one knowing how to bind enables one to enter into the spiritual warfare with faith to overcome. In Matthew 18:18. And the meaning of the words bind and loose are often used in both places in a declaratory sense of things. They're not of the person, but you're speaking in the spiritual realms. In other words, you're not, a person is slandering your name all over town. Well, you can go over there and you can beat them up and you can yell at them and you can shout and you can name them as many things as they've named you, and you've accomplished nothing. But if you bind the devils that are behind them, that are running around scattering your name all around, then you've accomplished everything, because you have loosed that person and you have given that person a chance to repent. So whatsoever things you shall bind or loose will be bound and they will be loosened. And so this is the commission that God gave first to Peter in Matthew 16:19. And then after that, he enlarged it to his apostles. And so you see, one of the problems that we have in America is that people just don't believe in demons. They don't think that they're real. And so if you don't think that a demon's real, then you don't have to mess with it. And when you don't think that a demon's real, then what happens is the demon has an open highway to come and meddle around in your life and cause you all sorts of misery. They can break you. They can shake you. They can take your finances. They can take your health. They can create premature death over you. And it all happens. And you just think, oh, well, this just happened to me. I don't know. Poor little old me. I don't know what I did. But it just happened to me. I was riding down the street, and bang, a car hit me. It just happened to me. And now I'm this and I'm that. And you can just receive whatever the devil does to you. And that is exactly where you will be until you rise up and you say, Satan, you take your grubby hands off of me. Because I'm telling you right now, I know somebody that can heal me. I know somebody that can deliver me. I know somebody that can change what you have done to me. And I'm going to run to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Things will change for you when you do that. Now, I'm going to go over and see what's going on the board, because I've been busy talking to you and I have to go and check in and see if anybody's, you don't see him, do you?
No.
No. Where is that up on the chat? I don't see anything. I see a 111.
Go down.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to go over and see who 000 is. 000, you're on the air. Hello?
Is that me?
Oh, it's you. It's only Bill, Dave.
Yes, that's you.
Okay, I had to dial back in. That's me. I don't know what happened with the 000.
Okay, but look, you can. We're hearing you.
Good.
So why do you have to dial back in?
I'd gotten disconnected earlier.
Oh, from the chat room?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, everybody will be back until you do. You know, you have to keep them straight.
This is a great teaching tonight.
Oh, you like the teaching?
Yes,
but
ma'am.
But it's true, isn't it? The teaching tonight is true. Well, I'm going to let 000 call back because he's got to keep the chat room straight. And I want to teach just a few more moments on this binding thing because I'm getting to the good part. And then we're going to take some calls, okay? And so I see Alice is up on the board, and we give God glory. I think she's, yeah, there she is. Alice, we give God glory for you, too. Mm-hmm. And for Bonnie, she comes up sometimes. I don't see her up there tonight. But I see Cricket up there, Cricket Miller. Thank you for coming up. And all of the other great guests. Oh, there's Chaplain Tom, Brother Tom. He comes up and helps us with the word a lot, and we give shouts out to him. A lot of good people up on the chat room tonight. We have Eagles Wings exclusive, I guess that's INM. Alice is up there, and many guests are up there. We want to always make our guests feel at home because, you know, some of them come up for the first time. Which, by the way, we have now got 34,000 people on Blog Talk Radio, which is a lot. That is big on Blog Talk Radio. And we could never have done this without you. So we wanted to tell all of you, thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for telling other people about the radio program. Thank you for praying for us, too. Amen. Let's give our people a shout and a clap. And supporting us financially, we're, you know, our goal is to go up on broadcast satellite and shortwave. And so we're hoping that you're standing with us in prayer. And yes, Eagles Wing says it took 7 times to log in tonight. And, you know, a lot of people tell us that they try to log in and they can't get in. So that might be an area where we need additional prayer, is the gate to the chat room. Because they're listening on their phones and they're trying to get in, but somehow they can't get in. There's been times when I couldn't even get in. So let's all be praying about the chat room, guys, and continue to send out emails and on your Facebook, support us and tell people to come up and listen to us up on Facebook. And, you know, we're going to be up there before you can say Jack in the Box, because I believe God wants this word going around the world. It's the truth. And it not only is the truth, but it helps people. So God bless you. Now, I want to go to the second part of this, and I'm not going to spend as much time on the second part of this as the first part, because we want to talk to the people. And so, Alice, would you put the name up? It's 805.
She did.
Oh, she did? 292-0300. And this is for the people listening in that are not on the chat. You can just call in your cell phones or your house phones. It's 805-292-0300. And they will ask you to push the 1. And when you push the 1, that means that you want to talk. and we'll be talking to you in just a little bit also. So the first part is you're binding the devil, right? You're binding the devil up that has stolen things from you. And so now, but the second part of that is loosening. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound on earth. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose on earth and in heaven. So heaven's working with you as you speak these words. And so, by the way, before I get on this second part, do you know that witches work in the same way? Do you know that they speak words in their ritualisms and they will write out curses and they'll try to send them to you? If a witch can tell you a person, well, I put a hex, a spell, or a curse, or a ritualism, or a blood sacrifice on you, what happens is the person gets scared and fear opens up the gateway to that person's spirit so that those words can come into that person's spirit and come true in that person's life. So it's through words. Words are either spiritual from God or they're spiritual from the devil. So when somebody speaks words over you, be very aware that you need to bind them. Somebody told me the other day, said, you're going to be crippled. And I looked at him and I said, oh, no, I'm not going to be crippled. I said, in the name of Jesus, I shall walk until the day I die. You see? Well, you see, and they did it like it was a joke. Well, it's not a joke. I know the powers of words. So what I immediately did was I bound up those words and reversed them. I said, no. I could have laughed and said, yeah, that's funny. Well, then those words could have taken effect over my life. But I don't work that way. I speak the words of God over my life and over the lives of my family, right? And so there was a girl that used to come to our ministry years ago, and we were teaching them how to bind and loosen, like we are you tonight. And so I started hearing her, and she said, devils, I bind you for this. I bind you for that. I bind. And she was going around binding everything that moved. And one day I said, tell me something, honey. I said, what are you loosed? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, what are you loosening? You're binding everything up, but I haven't heard you loose anything. So then I had to go and teach her how to loose. And that's what I'm quickly going to teach you right now. So the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 10:5, that you have to accept good thoughts and you have to reject Satan's bad thoughts. And I paraphrase that. So you have to really bring your mind and your thoughts into captivity so that you can separate the bad thoughts from the good thoughts that spring into your mind. And they come in through other people's words, or they come in from words that were spoken down your family line. Your mama, your daddy, oh, you're never going to amount to nothing. Oh, you're stupid. You can't learn anything. I always said that you were dumb. Well, see, those are word curses. And they can be pronounced over you by a sister, brother, mother, father, aunt, uncle, school teacher, friend, whoever. So when somebody speaks a negative word over you, you don't get mad. You just say, oh, no, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not dumb. The Bible says that I can have the mind of Christ in Philippians, and I have the mind of Christ. And I'm smart. Because the Bible says that as I read the Word of God, I renew my mind every day. oh, no, I'm not smart. I'm not dumb. And so you reverse what the devil is saying to you. So quickly, the loosening part of this is you bind up the evil spirit's powers to enslave, entrap, encage, to block, and you loose the ministering spirits of God over your loved ones, over yourself. And now, ministering spirits, if somebody will look that up for me real quick in Hebrews, so that you can put it up on the chat room, I'll call it out loud. The ministering spirits are the angels that are sent from the throne of God to minister to his people. Now, we're not teaching the third wave, let's go talk to angels and they're going to do this and that for us. No. God is in charge of the angels, not us. Amen? And so what you do is, amen. People, Brother Tom, did you see that? People are praying for you every day. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. Thank you, chat room. I know Brother Tom enjoys that message because the type of work he does, he gets under a lot of attack too, I'm sure. I'm talking about work in the spirit realms. But anyway, so now we loose ministering angels. We say Father, because he's in charge of the angels. Human beings don't boss angels around. They only are accountable to God himself. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he said, I could have asked my Father. Look that one up too, someone. I could have asked my Father, and he would have sent legions of angels. And so if Jesus had to ask his Father, we have to ask his Father, right? And I know people in the third wave that just bossed angels around like they've got a servant or something. Angels are not your servants. Amen? Unless God sends them to be your servant. And so, okay, now we've heard about...
you didn't finish the prayer. Father, you've given them the prayer.
No, I was telling them, Father, send the angels. Okay. I wasn't praying, I was just...
Okay.
She's over here getting me on my toes, I'm telling you. No, I wasn't praying. I was saying that when you need the angels, you say, Father, would you send the angels? Would you send the angels to war for me? I'm under attack from the forces of evil or whatever it is that you're praying about. So therefore, here we are in the loosening part. So you're asking the Father to loose the ministering angels. And I see that over in Hebrews 1:13-14. But which of the angels said at any time, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemy thy footstools? But actually the one Alice put up, Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? I don't know I don't know what translation that is, but it's Hebrews 1:14 that you use. And so angels have a big part in the warfare, I'm going to tell you right now. And so when you speak and you say, Satan, I bind you and I bind your strongholds. Remember previously, I said Jesus speaks. And when Jesus speaks, then the angels come and do the work of his words. You can see that, by the way, over in Revelation, whenever the end of the world comes, and Jesus is on the white horse, and all of his believers are on their white horses, following him back to earth to take dominion over the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Abaddon and Satan. And they're at the Battle of Armageddon, and Jesus speaks with a double-edged sword. And the double-edged sword is the word of God, and it's the word of judgment, and it's the word of mercy. And so he judges the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Abaddon, and there's a big angel that's bigger than the sun, blocks out the sun. He comes and arrests those three satanic personalities and cast them into the pit. And a few scriptures on down, you see the angel arresting Satan himself, binding and chaining him, and casting him in the pit. Now, this is exactly what goes on in the deliverance ministry. You see, Jesus is the deliverer. That's what the word says. He's the baptizer. He's the deliverer. And Jesus is also the judge. And so whenever Jesus speaks, now you say, I bind you, Satan. Well, Jesus speaks and says, I bind you too, Satan. Then the angels chain him and cage him. And then they take him to the foot of Jesus, and he judges them and immediately puts them into hell because they touched a believer. That's really what happens in deliverance. It's so simple, isn't it? So what are we going to loose now? We've got them all bound. We've got them in a cage. And we've spoken to them. Jesus spoke to them. Well, now we got to loose some things that they have taken from us or they have stolen from us. So we say we bind the evil spirit's powers, and we loose the ministering spirits. We ask you, God, to send your ministering spirits to our loved ones, our daughters, our mothers, our fathers, our family, our neighbors, whoever, our friends, our country, business. And what we want you to do, Father, is we want to loose the spirit of adoption over them. Well, what is the spirit of adoption? The spirit of adoption is shown over in the book of Romans, and the spirit of adoption is that spirit that God gives us when we become born again. In other words, we're asking God to open up their hearts so that they can hear the gospel and respond to the gospel. So we're asking him to send the spirit of adoption and ministering angels over our families, our friends, our country, our businesses. And supplication, truth, peace, love, joy, sound mind, praise, worship, prayer, holiness, obedience, mercy, conviction, repentance, deliverance, and the understanding that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's how you pray for your lost ones, my friends. You see, Christians are not praying for their families. We used to gather around the altars after church, and we would pray for our families. And we had little prayer meetings that we had all the time where we would pray for our families. Now, are you praying for your family? Because you see, prayers for your family, you're causing the powers of darkness to be bound over their lives, and you are releasing the Spirit of God to come and convict them of their sins, and you're praying for the darkness to disperse and the light to come to them. You're also, you can loose workers in the field. We used to loose workers in the field. God send workers in the field. What does that mean? That means, God, they won't listen to us. Send another Christian to tell them. Because a lot of times, people in your family, they won't listen to you, but they'll listen to someone else. So you loose workers in the field. You say, Father, send the warring angels to war those devils of alcohol and cigarettes and lust and whatever it is going on in their hearts. Now, I just put the prayer line up again, and the prayer line is 805-292-0300, and then you dial 1. And when I see the 1, I'll come to the phone. If you don't dial 1, we don't usually pick up the phone to answer people. Unless the people want to talk, then you have to dial and dial the number 1, and then we'll see that your hand's up. Now, Dr. Sabrina, do you have some things to add to all of this? Sabrina always has things to add. Big things to add in the name of Jesus. Because she's Sabrina. I talked to Bishop the other day, Bishop's wife. He's in New York. He's not ministering. He's visiting with family there, so we should hear something within the next day or so from Bishop. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Saints. God bless you all. I have a few words to say to you about listening and paying attention to the inward witness. That goes along with the deliverance ministry. You can look up 1 John 5, 6, and 10, 1 John 2, 20, and 27, Romans 8, 16, and Proverbs 20, 27. Those scriptures talk about an unction from the Holy Spirit. They talk about, especially when it comes to ministering to your family members, sometimes the Lord doesn't want you to say it. Sometimes he wants someone else to say it. Sometimes he knows there's a time when that person won't receive it, and yet another time when they will receive it. But we have an unction from the Holy One, the Bible says, and we know all things. The Bible says that the Spirit of God connects to our spirit man. And he gives you this little feeling in there. You know if it's okay or if it's not okay. You know the difference between right and wrong and false and true. And many times we get so busy and preoccupied with our own lives and other things that we are doing that we either deny, we ignore, we don't pay proper attention to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to admonish you tonight that as you continue in your Christian walk, that you should take time to pay attention to that inward witness. Sometimes it's a matter of life and death. Sometimes it's a matter of having to do warfare or avoiding a situation so that you don't have to get involved at all. It is important to pay attention to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit when he's trying to get your attention, to show you that it's okay, not okay, he's with this, he's not with this. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble unnecessarily because we have ignored that unction. So I just came on tonight to say good evening, I love you, God bless you, this is a great teaching, but don't forget to pay attention to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit.
Can you give an example?
All right. This is a real simple thing. It was time for me to buy bathroom tissue this week. And I haven't got time to run all over town and find out who has the best sale. I really don't. I was in a major warehouse, and I was thinking, well, you know, I could buy that now. But I couldn't get a clearance in my spirit. And so later on, I'm driving down the street, and I hear this voice that's better at Walmart. So I go to Walmart. sure enough, the price was better. But when I got to the brand I normally purchase, I had this hesitance. So as I went down the aisle, I found out that there was another brand not as popular as the one I like to buy, and you got more for less money. I felt free to pick it up and take it home. Now, that's an extremely simple explanation, extremely simple, just a small thing, but it saved me a few dollars. But there are things that happen that are far more important, like it's time to leave the house, you're ready to go, and all of a sudden something doesn't feel right. Stop to pay attention to the something, because sometimes it might make the difference between you getting in a car wreck and staying out of one.
Mm-hmm.
It has been that way for me on several occasions. You have your plan, your schedule, and your time, and you're ready to run. But sometimes it's not time to run. Sometimes it's time to pause and wait a few minutes till you get that clearing in the spirit. It may be the difference between you being on the earth 10 more years or leaving prematurely. Pay attention to God.
Amen. Pay attention to those pricks in your heart. Because a lot of times I've left the house and the Lord will prick me to go in my heart to go in a different direction. You know, humans love to form patterns, but the enemy knows how to watch to find out what you're doing in those patterns. So do pay attention to what Dr. Sabrina just shared, because it's very important. Now, if you want to talk, you're going to have to, if you're up on the board and you haven't dialed the one, I won't know that you've got to talk. So you need to hang up and dial back and push that one, and then we'll know. The number is 805-292-0300. You're welcome to call in with testimony or for prayer. Prayer is very, very important, and we take prayer very, very seriously. And tonight, I have a request. A young man asked me to pray because he thinks he's broke a hernia out. And so I laid my hands on it and prayed before I got home tonight. So we'll call him Tony. So just everybody pray for Tony. He's going to go and see what the doctor's going to do, and he's scared to death, he says. Well, I'm believing that there's nothing there. And so you will pray with me for him. He's a believer, but he doesn't know so much about these miracles that we talk about. Well, it's time for a miracle for him, I think. Amen? So I see a hand up. 706, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Rhonda. I was calling to let you know I'm listening to the Word, listening to praise and worship, studying your sermons on the Internet, praying the blood. And I've learned who I am, scriptures of forgiveness, deliverance, healing, and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still feeling not flowing in the Holy Spirit the way that I should be flowing freely in the Holy Spirit.
Okay, Rhonda, what does the Word say?
It says that I'm sealed with the seal of redemption and just ask of the Lord, and he'll give you the Holy Spirit.
Okay, what else does it say?
I don't know what. Which scriptures?
Do not walk flesh. But we walk by the Word of God.
Okay.
So in other words, you're not supposed to walk by feelings.
Feelings.
You walk by what the Word says.
Says. Okay.
So a lot of times people will say things like, you know, I just don't feel saved. Well, what you have to tell them, okay, did you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Yes. To forgive yourself? Yes. What does the Word say? The Word of God says that if we ask God to forgive us, he will forgive us. So we believe what the Word says other than our feelings, because the Word of God is true. And the Bible says that God looks over his word to perform it. So if you walk by what you feel, the devil will put feelings on you instead of you being able to secure your freedom. He will keep those feelings coming. So what you have to do, Rhonda, is you have to say, devil, I don't believe your feelings. I take authority over the feelings that you're placing on me, and I believe that the Word of God says that I have the Holy Ghost and that Jesus is not a halfway God. He's going to give me above all that I can believe for. And you begin to quote what the Word says about you and
okay.
the flesh.
Okay.
Makes sense to you?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You doing better?
Yes, I'm doing better. My physical body's doing lots better.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Now we're working on your mind, aren't we?
Right. Right.
Here's what the Word says. It says you can have the mind of
Christ.
Right?
Right.
It says, don't think on the bad things. Think on these things. Think on things that are good. Don't think about the memories of your past. I think I mentioned that in the Old Testament. In my sermon earlier. Memorize scriptures every day. And don't let your memories go back and dwell on what happened to you. Go forward. Keep going forward of what the Word says about you, what God has already done for you. And the Bible says that if you will keep your mind on Jesus Christ at all times, you see, if you'll keep your mind on Jesus Christ, then you go ahead, Sabrina.
Rhonda, you need to read the Gospel of John this week.
Okay.
Your mind centered on Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I'll give you a few scriptures. You can protect your mind by reading Psalms 91. Ephesians 6:17.
Okay.
And protect your children's minds.
Okay.
And Corinthians 7:14 and John 17:12.
Okay.
Isaiah 54:13. Excuse me, I'm hiccuping. In the name of Jesus, go away. You can protect the minds of newly delivered people through Ephesians 6:18-18.
Okay.
And Romans 8:26-27. Now you see, when a person is being delivered like you have been, that's what we're doing now with you. We're working to get your understanding of the Word of God. Now, I've noticed, for instance, that you know a lot about the Word of God. I mean, you know a lot of the Word. And
right.
So,
the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
But you see, the point is that you had to put it in for the Holy Ghost to bring it. So what I'm saying to you is that now you have to learn to take that Word and apply it to yourself.
Okay.
We're trying to teach you now.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
You don't walk about what you feel, because now you have to walk out of the feelings. As you walked away from the demons, now you got to replace the feelings with what the Word says. And as you begin to war against those feelings, God will replace those feelings and you will feel the effect of your faith and the Word working together.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you want to hang on?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thanks. Well, so far, we don't have a hand up. We've got plenty of people hanging on the phone, but You know, a lot of people call and they stay on the phone and just listen to the program. But if you're hanging on the phone and you want to talk to me, just hang up and dial right back and dial a 1 when the operator tells you, and we'll be able to talk to you. And the number is 805-292-0300. Now, while we're waiting on people to call, you know, we've been praying for our country. And a lot of things are happening in our nation that Christians need to be alerted, they need to know about. You can't pray about things if you don't know about things. And so many Christians just really don't know what's going on in our country and what's going on in the world. And so I have to keep up with those kind of things. And there's other people that are Christians that keep up. And we try to alert people as we can. So while we're waiting on calls, I just want to tell you that the chatter, you know what chatter is? Chatter is when a lot of phone calls and emails are going on and people are saying things that they're hearing about. And usually when the chatter happens, then it's like a forewarning before the thing happens. So there's a lot of chatter going on the internet and through some of the people sticking their necks out to tell us things that they're risking their lives for us to know. And some of those things are this. The chatter is something is going to happen, they believe, in October or November. They have arrested about 20 vets and put them in mental hospitals. They arrested two vets this week, and one of them got out, and he said that the psychiatrist told him that he was going to force him to take some shots if he didn't talk to him and things of that nature. So that guy's out and he's talking. The other vet has been moved and nobody knows where he is. So they're just taking people from their homes and they're disappearing as I speak to you. So we need to begin to pray about this. You need to pray about me. You need to pray about Dr. Sabrina, people that are ministering to you, people that are alerting people. Alex Jones is one. Some people say, well, I think he's a fake. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. The point is he's alerting you to a lot of things, and so are a lot of other people. And so the chatter is that the bankers are going to call for the banks to fail in our country. If the banks fail, there will be just chaos all over the world. You will not be able to buy food. You won't have gas. I went to the gas today. It's gone up another 30%. Mm-hmm. I think I paid $3.67 for regular gas today.
Some stations is $3.79.
And some stations here is $3.79. Well, they have all of our oil wells capped in our nation. And up in Canada, they've diverted the oil from coming to America through a executive order of Obama. They have the oil wells capped, the pipelines up in Alaska, and they are holding us up against the wall as I speak to you. So here's what I'm telling you. You've got to pray like you've never prayed before. You've got to pray in the name of Jesus that you can be hidden in the computers, that your name will just collapse if they pull it up, that you will be hidden under the blood of Jesus when you go out in your cars, that this radio show, we confuse the people that are listening. We confuse and collapse the computers that are recording. that are not supposed to be hearing. And we're talking God talk that they cannot understand. But what I'm saying is that the time is late. Things are happening as I'm talking to you that looks to me like we're going into the tribulation period. Antichrist is getting ready to take his seat as we speak to you. There are police pulling people over on the side of the road with military people with them, dressed up like dark betas, taking pictures of people, coming knocking on people's doors, all kinds of things. And when these kind of things begin, it's just the beginning of sorrows. So you need to understand that me just saying what I've just said is putting my life in danger tonight. But I'm warning you, things are wrapping up very rapidly. You know, if you take a mad dog and you get the mad dog cornered, he's going to attack. Get him cornered up in a corner and he's going to attack you. And what the polls are showing is that Obama is right now losing the election. He needs the 7 states that he got last time in order to get reelected. He's lost 6 of them as I speak to you. And all 7 of these states have elected Republican governors. The chances, unless they steal the election, which that's very possible since they control the ballot boxes, is that he's not going back in. Now, some of the people that have been talking to you and telling you the truth, what happens is those people believe and have heard the rumors that if he goes back in, that they're going to come after them. They're going to shut down radio shows like this, and they are coming after the radio host. So I'm just giving you a word of advice. We need to pray like we've never prayed before, because they hate Christians. You know, the devil, whenever he went into the revolution in Russia, the first place that they went after was the church. The second place that they went after was the government itself. Large portions of our churches in America have already been captured by the forces of evil. Lots of your pastors have joined the faith thing that they have in Washington, where they give the churches money. You take money from the government, you're going to do what the government says. They're teaching Romans 13 that you're not supposed to disobey the government, which that is not what those scriptures mean. That was Hitler's favorite scriptures whenever he was alive, Romans 13. And it might shock you to know that Hitler claimed to be a Christian. And so you need to be very aware that strange things are happening. They're putting drones up in the air over different cities. They've got some of the utilities of tanks and things like that rolling in some of the northern towns. Things are happening, friends, as I speak to you. And you got to take it seriously. It would be good if you went up on Infowars.com, which yesterday he talked to Steve Quayle, and he talked to him again today. I don't like Steve Quayle's religious politics, but I believe Steve Quayle knows what he's talking about when he talks about the government. And Steve Quayle once was a very deep spiritual Christian. And the first half of yesterday's program was wonderful. I thought I was listening to a Christian preacher. The second part, well, that was another program. When he starts talking about UFOs and things like that, I don't agree with him on all that, okay? So the person that I'm telling you about is that you need to pray, and we need to pray, and we need to pray right now before we go to the prayer lines, and then we'll be on the prayer lines. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, you've heard this conversation. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. We confuse the enemy camp that they have no understanding of that conversation that we just had with your believers, that your believers will rise up and pray for their nation. They will pray for me. They will pray for those that are exposing. They, the people that are listening to this tonight, will rise up and take this serious, that the book of Revelation and Tribulation may have already started. I believe that it has, but if it hasn't, the perilous times are certainly here. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Antichrist is getting ready to take his seat and rule over the world. The bankers are getting ready to put the chips in everybody, which Obama's health care bill calls for in 2013. It's in the health care bill. They're getting ready to kill the old people. You cannot go to the hospital if you're 60. I mean, if you're 70, they have to judge whether they want to treat you or not. And if you're 76, the health care bill says that they will not treat you if you get cancer at 76. So things are happening, serious things. People that claim to be conservatives are flipping over and endorsing the health care bill like Judge Roberts did, the Supreme Court justice. Obama is a mad dog that is being threatened, who has a pen that he can do anything, evidently, with that pen. That's not the way the American government has been formed, but that's the way it's working as I speak to you today. Christians, join me and agree that this thing collapses, that all of the plans of the enemy collapses in the name of Jesus, that Jesus will have mercy upon America and the church. And I recall Jesus to remembrance that our forefathers prayed for people all over the world, evangelists, and our grandmas and grandpas and mothers and fathers prayed for us to become Christians. And now we're all standing praying for our daughters, and we're praying for our children and their children. And we're praying, God, for our mothers and our fathers, our grandfathers, aunts and uncles, and all of the people that are outside the covenant of you, God. We give you praise and glory. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that if you will give us a little bit more time, God, give us more time. Our families are not into the kingdom, and our friends, and our churches, and our pastors. Lord, there's a big bunch of pastors that you told me are going to come into the kingdom, and we're praying for them. We take authority over the communist spirit and bind it and confuse it. And all of those people up in Washington that are progressives, we bind them up. We bind the progressive movement over the internationalism coming out of America in Jesus' name. Over in England, God, we just saw the abominations that happened with the 2012 Olympics. And we bind up this Antichrist spirit that's raging, this spirit of lawlessness that's operating. And Father God, we give you praise and glory that you will change the hearts of those that have gone away from you, and that you will convict them of their sins and bring them into the kingdom of God. Father God, your word says that you are married to the backslider. And so in the name of Jesus, we're here praying, and we're all in agreement. We bind the powers of darkness. We bind all of those devils of the New World Order, and in Jesus' name we give you praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
And so now we're going to go to the phones, We have a phone call, 248. You're on the line.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening all night, and a very good friend of mine has been part of your show, listening to it for a long time, telling me about it. I agree with you that the government has some problems. I've been very active in the government, watching it for a long time, and that is part of my prayer and my frustration is what's going on. But on the other side, I kind of wanted to ask for a prayer. I've been dealing for 20 years with my ex-husband now and his family, who they do everything they can to make me out to be a villain. I've been a Christian all my life, and their game is to have lies and deceit and make me as an outcast and then turn my children against me. And when I got divorced, I'm not remarried yet, but when I got divorced 13 years ago, they started in very hard on my son and daughter, and they have done what's called parental alienation against them. And it's been a lot to go through. I was seeing it for a long time, and I've gone to my minister, and I tried the courts, and the courts do not help. They do not understand it. And I've been fortunate enough to read some books and do some research to find out about it. But it's, I could use your prayers, because both of my parents are in heaven. God bless their souls. And I try to educate my children, give them everything I could. And I know that the country's in dire circumstances. And I can't even reach out to them and protect them, because my ex-husband and family finally this year accomplished their mission and totally alienated them and dragged me back through court, and my son's off to college now and won't talk to me. So I ask for your prayers.
How old are your children?
Well, the interesting thing is my son turned 18 this year. My older daughter's actually 30. But he and his family, his sister was successful at doing this to her children that are all in their 20s and 30. And they do it to anybody. They go against anybody that's not part of their family. I've done a lot of research on this. And she was successful. And she trained my ex-husband, who was her younger brother. And I felt it when we were married, and they've continued. So my 18-year-old son is the most susceptible, but my daughter comes out of it here and there, but then she goes back into it. And unfortunately, my parents and family are all deceased. And all I have are cousins, and he actually turned them against a cousin. I'm dealing with our puppy, who my son loved, who we've had for 11 years, who was diagnosed with bone cancer this year, and she's my baby too, and I love her. She's been the greatest dog, and I'm dealing with having chemotherapy and doing stuff with her, and he won't even come to see her. And some of the books that I've read from psychologists, a couple of them are very good. There's a Dr. Richard Warshak.
Okay, honey.
And he wrote it, and it says that they alienate you so far that they won't see your family or your pets. He won't even come and see his dog.
Okay, darling, I hear your heart's cry. And
thank
this
you.
Is all over the country. Christian women particularly losing their children and alienation of their children. However, this sounds to me like that family is entrenched in some sort of deep witchcraft.
Yeah, my my minister said they are evil. They are actually, they say they're Catholic, they say they're Christian. They love to say how Christian they are. And I, as you and I know, the Bible says that, you know, I mean, true Christians don't just go out and brag that they're Christians. You know, yeah. True Christians act as Christians, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's a part, I can't think of the Bible scripture, but it talks about, Jesus talks about how you don't need to go out and tell everybody you're a Christian and you're doing this and this and this. It's your acts. It's your acts
okay,
that are important. And my ex's family loves to go out. They go out, and his sister, who's like this, goes out and brags all about this. And as my minister said, it's not necessarily witchcraft. They pretend they're Christians, but it's more of a hereditary going on generation to generation, treating people like they don't belong to you and they're outsiders.
I'm trying to tell you something. This is a radio show, and we can't just go into everything.
I understand.
And so here's what I'm getting on you. Are they members of a secret society that you know of?
No.
Elks or the Knights of Columbus or
They came over here from Europe after World War II. In fact, they hate me. They would say things because my dad's family came over in the 1600s, and my mother came over away from what was going on over 100 years ago before World War II from Germany, and they're from Belgium.
Okay.
And they would start in on me that my family was English and German and attack their family. So, no, they're not part of any cults. They go to a Catholic church in a small community, and they just love to gossip and attack people.
Well, the controlling spirit that you have described is usually people that are knitted together by some sort of they might not be called witches, but a secret society membership, like the elves.
They aren't. They don't. I know the family, and I've watched and I've seen. They're more, and like my minister says, they've more, and I even went to a family therapist who's a PhD doing family therapy for 30 years. They are just more, they have just passed this cultural idea of alienating anybody outside of their family for years. They don't belong to any certain group. They're farmers and factory workers.
Look, hello.
Yeah.
We're finished with the family thing. We've got your picture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to pray for your son.
Thank you.
You have a daughter.
And
I'm going to ask the Lord to move in his heart
to
his heart to his mom again. And we're going to ask the Lord to heal your heart. Now, I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive them.
I forgive them.
I know it's hard, but it's just an act. You know, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. And by your will, you say, I forgive them.
I agree. And that's what my minister told me last year. I've been praying for them. Anytime I ever think of them, I pray for their souls. I pray for them. I forgive them. I forgive them.
And Father, you see that my young son has been influenced.
And Father, you see that my young son's been influenced.
And my heart is broken.
And my heart is broken.
And I ask you to bind up.
And I ask you to bind up.
All of those devils.
All of those devils.
That has come between my son and myself.
Has come between my son and myself.
And I ask you, God, to open his heart.
And I ask you, God, to open his heart.
Convict him.
Convict him.
To come to me.
To come to me.
And I lift up my daughter.
And I lift up my daughter.
And I pray the same prayer.
And I pray the same prayer.
And I ask you to convict her.
And I ask you to convict her.
And your word says.
And your word says.
Nothing shall be covered.
Nothing shall be covered.
And I ask that you uncover.
And I ask you that you uncover.
The vicious lies.
Vicious lies.
That has been spoken against me.
That has been spoken against me.
Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
I ask that you touch my heart.
I ask that you touch my heart.
And heal me.
And heal me.
And I give you praise.
And I give you praise.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, we're going to be praying for you all week.
Thank you. Thank you. You
report, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 601, you're on the air. 601.
Hey, Dr. Pat and Dr. Sabrina.
Hi.
I just want to get some prayer. I've been listening to the newsletters with Omega Man, and I've been getting deliverance from a lot of things I didn't even know that I needed deliverance in. But I still think it's something that I'm missing. So I just like to get some prayer. So if it's anything that I haven't been delivered from, you know, then God will bring it to me, you know, so I'll know, you know, what I need to be delivered from. I'm missing something.
Let me say this to you, darling. If you have a deliverance minister that's working with you, you don't have another deliverance minister because of the fact that you put yourself in that person's hands. But,
no, it's you that I be listening to. It's you. It's the old newsletters.
I know. I get you. Okay, those are those old deliverance.
Right.
Okay,
newsletters.
I get you. No,
yeah,
there's.
Yeah.
I don't usually deliver people if they put themselves up under another deliverance minister. It's like you don't go to a dozen doctors. You know. Yeah, I know who you are now. Okay, and so, what do you feel? What are you talking about? You've been listening to the newsletters and the tapes, but you haven't gone through any deliverance that I know about, have you?
I didn't hear what you said. What was that you asked?
Gone through deliverance with me?
Yeah, it's your deliverance. It's you who's doing the deliverance, not anybody else. I'm not going to anybody, you know, listening to anybody else.
Now,
these
what
are
I'm
your tapes.
I'm asking you is I have been delivering you.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay, because you see, we get a lot of calls, and I get a lot of calls at home. And so I'm trying to establish that you have been going through deliverance. Now, you said that there's some.
I'm not listening to anybody else. These are all yours.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Yeah. Okay. What is it that you feel that you need more? Why do you feel that you need more deliverance?
Well, because, you know, some people that I've known for years and years and years act like, you know, they'll say, well, you know, if you hadn't told me who you were, I would not have recognized you. And they look at me strange, as if, you know, something is.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you need deliverance. You know, when you become a Christian, your whole face changes. I mean, I've seen people drop 20 years off of their appearances after they've gone through deliverance. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you need deliverance. It means that it's reflecting that you have changes going on physically along with your deliverance.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Now, when you meet people, I met people after I got saved and delivered, and they told me, they said, you looked 100 years younger, thank God, and then your face was always so stressed out and tight, and now you look so young and so, I'm complimenting myself. No, but you change. God takes all those burdens off of you, so it doesn't necessarily mean that you need deliverance. You just shout and say, thank you, Jesus. It means that they're still in their old form, but you're in your new form, so they don't recognize you.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been talking to a lady on the phone, on my home phone.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like her. You haven't been calling me on my home phone.
No, I'm from Mississippi.
Yeah, but I've been talking to a lady that sounds just like you. Just today, as a matter of fact. And she told me she was listening to the... So that's what's knocking me off with you. Because I got you Mississippian ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all sound just alike, by the way. But you're listening? Are you getting built up on the faith?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I listen 24/7. I do the sermons, and you know I'm listening to your newsletters, not somebody else.
Yes.
The ones you thought that you stated that you thought were important to keep.
Is there anything else that you need?
Well, no. I did want to mention that, and I don't know if. You know, I have a pupil that's 15 years old, and he coughs and gags, you know, while you're delivering, while I'm listening to your tapes, you know, even on gluttony and, you know, under your sermons. And he does that all day long around the house. But when we take him away from the house, he doesn't cough and gag at all.
Hmm. Well, when you've got those tapes on, they've got an anointing on them, and people are losing weight listening to the gluttony tapes.
Uh-huh.
They'll cough and gag.
Mm-hmm.
Person lost 30 pounds listening to the tapes on gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably just getting some more deliverance. How is he doing?
Well, you know, it's kind of scary because he's like 15.
Hmm. Well, you know, Sabrina and I have cast out devils from babies.
Mm-hmm. I know. I listened to a tape where Sabrina talked about that. That was one of the first things she almost did.
Yeah, right. And so it's not a matter of age or anything. Just keep praying over him and covering him with the blood, and God will do the work that he has in him. How's your work doing?
My work is fine, but, you know, the hurricane is down this way, so we're not in, you know, in school today or tomorrow.
Well, what I'm going to do is the hurricane around you?
Well, it's not, you know what, it didn't come as close as they thought it was going to come, but we're going to have some problems from it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pray and let you go because we got a whole bunch of people hanging on.
Okay.
Call me back and let me know how you're doing.
I will.
Father, I lift up that area where the hurricane is and all of the people that have been affected. And where it's going, we take authority over the angel and the whirlwind and bind it up and command it that it cannot do the destruction that Katrina did in Jesus' name. And we just cover all of the people, God. And we thank you, Father, for my sister and her school. We thank you that her family's doing well. And we thank you that you are moving in her behalf in her prayer request. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I had her messed up with this woman. I talked to her yesterday on the phone. Sounds just like her. Well, hello. 347.
Hi. This is Cassia. I've been coming on your program for a while, and you've been doing deliverance sections with me. And last week when I was on your program, I mentioned I was going to this church, but I'm just feeling that it's not right for me because it's more about money than my salvation, you know? Mm-hmm. And today a pastor came to visit me because I was very sick yesterday and I passed out. And a pastor that I got to, I knew through someone came to visit me. And I was dropping him off, and the church I used to go to, the pastor saw me and called me. And he was like kind of like attacking me verbally. And just, you know, trying to be mean to me. And he just left. And I was very angry because I feel that if you have the Spirit of God in you, there are certain things that you wouldn't do. And I just want the Lord to direct me to, you know, be around Spirit-filled believers so I can grow. And, you know, so when the rapture happens, I'll be ready and not found once. And then I also thank God for directing me to your ministry. I learn a lot, and I'm very blessed, and God bless you.
Well, thank you very much, and you are going up on Miracle Internet Church?
Yeah, I go online.
Okay.
When I have the chance. I was at work. I'm like a caretaker, so I take care of people who are sick in their homes, and I left my job because the client that I was taking care of was, like, giving me a very hard time in her place. So her children decided it would be best if my agency gave me another job. So I'm leaving for work tomorrow, and
okay.
I'm praying for the Lord to go before me where I'm going and just fill the place with His Spirit and dwell with me over there and just watch over me also.
Okay. We're going to pray with you about your job because
okay.
We have several other calls, and you'll call us back. We'll be back up Friday night, guys. And
yeah.
So when we come up on Friday night, check back in so that we can pray some more with you. Amen. And Father, our friend is looking for a job tomorrow. And we just ask that this will be the perfect boss and that we treat her like a Christian woman should be treated. And we ask that you open up the door for that job if that's the one for her. If it is, we would have her to be. We just cover her with the blood of Jesus. Now I want you to say, Father, I forgive that pastor.
Father, I forgive that. Pastor?
Talking to me like that.
Talking to me?
And I ask
like
you
that?
To forgive him. I ask you to forgive him.
I ask you to forgive him.
And will lead me spiritually.
And deliver me spiritually.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I thank you for the job.
Thank you for the job.
In Jesus' name. Okay.
Jesus' name.
And let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello?
4, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Judge Paula referred me to you to call you about my need for some more deliverance.
Your niece needs some more deliverance?
No, me, personally. I was referred to you by a mutual friend of ours, Judge Paula.
Yes.
And she asked me to give you a call and to pray for me for more deliverance. I'm still having some pain in my chest, and I need more deliverance and help.
Okay.
In both my personal, spiritual, physical, and professional life.
Okay. And have you been delivered by me before?
No, I haven't. I just by Judge Paula.
Oh, okay. And so you're still having pains in your chest?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to pray for, since I don't know what Judge Paula is doing with you, since you're her case, so to speak, I'm going to pray for God to heal your chest. I'm not going to do any deliverance on you, okay?
Okay, because that's what she asked, if I could get deliverance from you.
Uh-huh.
But I can call you another time.
Judge will have to call me. She can call me and talk to me. And you call me back next Friday, because I need to know what's been going on before I go in. And, you know, okay, now put your hands over your chest. First place, do you smoke?
No, never.
Never smoked? Have
never.
You ever been around places like would have smoke coming out of chimneys, you know, in a city?
No.
Nothing like that?
No, not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah. How about paint and things, you know, house paints and things like that?
No, I just have more of the pain just from my deliverance on Sunday with Judge Paula.
Oh, okay.
More of that type of pain from my deliverance.
Okay, you didn't have this before the deliverance?
No.
Okay.
And she felt that I need more deliverance to feel better.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the spirit that has moved up in her chest, and we bind this spirit up in the name of Jesus, and you are going to loose her chest in Jesus' name. We bind up the line of the family line of spirits, and Satan, you're a liar and the father of it. And you will release this sister. You will come out of her chest immediately. Immediately. In Jesus' name. You have no authority. You spirit of pain. Ooh, we bind you in Jesus' name. And you have no authority over this lady in her chest. And in the name of Jesus, we command that we cut your roots and you come up and out. Take a deep cough and just cough them out.
Make yourself small.
Make you smell small. Come out.
You don't mind me coughing on air?
No, I want you to cough, because that's the way you get rid of them. Sister,
okay.
Sister's going to come. Sister Sabrina's got to get on the job. Go ahead.
Okay.
Come out. Make yourself microscopic and come out of her now in the name of Jesus. From back to the Lord Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Keep coughing, sister.
Yeah.
Roll.
Every spirit that's trying to hide, you will come out.
The spirit that Sister Paula went after, the gatekeeper that let it in, we bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. Come out of her now. Come out of her neck. The ones that's been supporting it since it came in. You come out too with them in the name of Jesus. We bind the cords of the blood of Jesus, send you into the cage. Come out now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out.
Come
in the name of Jesus. Father, we shut to the door in the spirit where these spirits came in the name of Jesus. And we cover it with the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. These spirits cannot re-enter her in the name of Jesus.
That's good. She's been in any her family society.
Has your family been in any secret societies?
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
What religion did you come up in?
a Christian Presbyterian, you know, been a Christian, you know, about 45 years.
Oh, okay. Now, have you made a new commitment to Jesus since you started this deliverance?
Yes.
Okay, Paul is pretty neat. Okay.
He sure is.
Yeah. She's a lovely lady. What I want you to do is I want you to ask the fire of the Holy Ghost to come in. See, Jesus is the baptizer of fire of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. Can you do that? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To fill me.
To fill me.
With the fire of the Holy Ghost.
With the fire of the Holy Ghost.
And I ask you, Holy Spirit.
And I ask you, Holy Spirit.
That you will drive all the hiding devils out.
That you will drive all the hiding devils out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now take a deep breath. And Jesus is the baptizer. So he's standing right in front of you. He's also the deliverer. So fire the Holy Ghost. Drive all of those spirits that are hiding out of her chest right now. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come. Every hiding spirit, the fire is burning instantly, immediately, instantly, immediately, all, every. Thank you, Jesus. Take
thank
a deep breath and say, thank you for my healing, Lord.
Thank you for my healing, Lord.
Now, how does your chest feel?
Very good, thank you.
Okay.
Much better.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Fill all those empty places.
Fill all those empty places.
With your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
And I thank you right now.
And I thank you right now.
Take another deep breath and let the Holy Ghost just fill all those empty places from your head to your feet. And I want you to listen to the Word of God, okay?
Okay.
And tell Sister Paula, Pat said hello, and I'm looking forward to seeing her soon.
She hopes to see you soon. I talked to her earlier tonight. She hopes to get down there and see you real soon.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to her, and God bless you. And we'll be
God
back.
God bless you.
We'll be back
when
tonight. And hopefully.
What night? I'm sorry, Pastor. What night are you back on me here?
Friday night. Friday night.
Okay, 7:30 to 10?
Friday night.
Okay.
Bishop is now in America. He's not here, but he's making his way down. He's visiting some relatives in New York, and so he should be coming in this way anytime, and I'll let everybody know. But meantime, we'll be here Friday night at 7:30.
I'll
and
tune in.
We'll talk to you again. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, a friend of Paula's is always a friend of mine, right? Now, we have 973. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Pat. This is Tracy. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I've called for, you know, several weeks now. I told you, like, my family had been involved in sorcery, and so was my ex-boyfriend's. A bunch of stuff. I'm trying to make it quick, I guess. I don't know if I can explain myself without explaining what happened, but there's also a church. They don't understand this stuff, but in the past, they've tried to help find me help, you know? So I broke down and I went down there. They're quite far for me to get to, you know, and I explained what was going on and the hardships, and they said that they would, you know, just pray that whatever it is would come out, because they don't understand, like, you know, sorceries or masons or any of that stuff. And they just said, you know, financially they could help me. But I guess to make a long story short, they saw it too. I saw it. It seems that something they did to me, I'm sure it is obviously demonic, but it's something so that I can't get help. It actually attacks anyone trying to help me. Does that make sense?
We're not afraid of that.
I've actually seen this before. I've been showing it for years, but every time I remember it, I blank out. Anyone who has tried to help me with it, who I thought they were just, you know, I went to a lot of, like, New Agers and wrong churches in the past, so I thought some of these people were fakes because they saw it too. But then when they told me to get back to them, they turned around and said I was doing it and flipped out on me. Like, it turns them, I can't explain it. It works on them. It's like a curse. Also, one other thing, I don't know what this has to do with. I mean, the church said they thought, like, it was soul ties. I was like, I've done that. I've renounced them. I've been doing this for years, and it's not. And when I got home, I saw very clearly it is a soul tie between me and my ex-boyfriend. But they, like, they arranged us. It's a spell keeping it in place. It's not, I don't know spell hex. I don't understand the difference between this stuff. I really don't. I told you that they called me and him one of their seven keys. But this is why, this is what's lingering, and there's something on my head that's, like, blocking me from, and when I saw it, I lost the part-time job I had. Like, as soon as I see it, everything gets crazy. You know? Okay. It's like, I can't even know it.
Okay. Sister Sabrina's fasting, and the Bible says some of these come out through prayer and fasting.
I believe that. I've been trying to fast. I did. I got sick, and then I didn't have help, and I got loopy. And actually, I fasted the day before I saw it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. She's going to pray for you, and she's going to break the powers of that witchcraft over you. Go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and every calling that we've been called to in the body of Christ, we come together and lift our sister up to you. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her, first of all, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for her calling in so that she can get some help, Father. First of all, Lord, we thank you for your cross, for the blood of Jesus that you shed on the cross for all of our sins, Father. And we put the cross of Calvary between this sister and between every other human being on this planet and every other spirit in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority and dominion over every hereditary spirit of rebellion, spirits that come down the family line, spirits of stubbornness, Father, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of Freemasonry and other cults, spirits of mockery, spirits of skepticism, ritualistic abuse, Father, in Jesus' name, spirits of spiritism, human sacrifice, cultism, necromancy spirits, clairvoyant spirits, spirits that peep and mutter, spirits that come through a medium, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just take authority over the witchcraft that's in the family line, Father. And we call it from both sides of the family, Father, in the name of Jesus. We take authority and dominion over it in the name of Jesus. We bind it. We send it into the cage in Jesus' name. Father, this sister, Lord, has repented of every demonic spirit, every inherited spirit in the name of Jesus. We bind the crown of unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority and dominion over every hereditary sin that has been committed in her family line from Adam all the way to her in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, Lord God, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we say, Lord God, that this sister's sin has been remitted in the name of Jesus all the way back to Adam in Jesus' name. Father, we break the power of the curses, the continual curses that are being released through her family against her in Jesus' name and against the persons who attempt to help her in Jesus' name. We bind all watchers, Father, that are reporting, all peepers and mutterers that are reporting in Jesus' name. We bind them and cage them, and we take their abilities from them and release them back to Jesus Christ, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the peace of God over this sister. We release the peace of God. We say, Father, that grace and mercy follow her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against her shall be able to prosper, and every voice that rises against her in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for sending giant warring angels to this sister to war on her behalf continually in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you continually show her what it is she must do, Father, in Jesus' name, to be completely free. I thank you, Lord God, for sending her into your word and giving her scriptures to stand on in Jesus' name. I thank you for giving her confessions of faith to make in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for turning them around the other way and sending them away from her in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that every word and every utterance, every evil utterance that is sent out against this sister falls to the ground and becomes null and void in Jesus' name. I thank you that only the word of God will go before her and around her. Father, the Bible says that your favor encompasses us like a shield. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the favor of Almighty God to be upon this sister, Lord God, and to encompass her like a shield in Jesus' name.
We bind up all New Age spirits. We take authority over the seven keys. We smash those keys. They cannot open anything, any door to her spirit in the name of Jesus. We bind up all of the religions that are attacking her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we particularly, let me ask you something. What religion were you raised up in?
My mom was Christian, and my father was Catholic. I always knew growing up that my father's family was not Christian because they were evil people. I mean, I didn't know they did this, but.
Okay, now let me ask you this. The group that's talking about the seven keys, who are they?
They're gypsies, and I think, from my understanding, my family was Italian, but I'm pretty sure they were, like, Italian gypsies, because I do remember my grandmother saying stuff about, I belong to the gypsies and all this other stuff, and they seem to just come out of nowhere. Like, one moves upstairs for me, they kind of are very sneaky. Even a church I was going to, it was like a flock of them came to me, and one of the elders, I didn't know that they were, and he goes, just stay away from them. Until we know what's going on, because they don't know this, he goes, I don't want you near them. You know?
Okay.
I was like,
did you get involved with them in any way?
A while back when I went to help a woman who was from the church, I found out she was a gypsy, yes.
Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to say, Father.
Father.
I renounce all the powers.
I renounce all the powers.
Of the gypsies.
Of the gypsies.
And all their prophecies.
And all their prophecies.
And all of their words.
And all of their words.
All of their dedications.
All of their dedications.
Ritualisms.
And what?
Ritualisms.
And ritualisms.
And all of their sacrifices, including blood.
And all of their sacrifices, including blood.
Over me for my soul.
Over me for my soul.
I take my soul back.
I take my soul back.
And I say in the name of Jesus.
And I say in the name of Jesus.
Their powers have no powers over me.
Their powers have no powers over me.
Their prayers no longer have any powers over me.
Their prayers no longer have any powers over me.
I renounce the spirit of Catholicism.
I renounce the spirit of Catholicism.
Allegiance to the Pope.
Allegiance to the Pope.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
Speaking to the dead.
Speaking to the dead.
And all of the controlling spirits over my mind.
And all of the controlling spirits over my mind.
Are broken and bound.
Are broken and bound.
And caged.
And caged.
And tonight.
And tonight.
I speak to the spirit called Leviathan.
I speak to the spirit called Leviathan.
You have no authority over my life.
You have no authority over my life.
I command you.
I command you.
That your heads be cut off.
That your heads be cut off.
All seven.
All seven.
And your tail.
And your tail.
And all your scales be relieved.
And all your scales be relieved.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
And I command you to come out of me now instantly.
And I command you to come out of me now instantly.
And all the spirits must leave.
All the spirits must leave.
Okay, go ahead and cough them out. Come out. Everyone. Come out. The spirit of fear and trauma.
Fear of fear.
Come out. Cough them out. You don't have to say anymore. The root, come out. The chains, the fetters. I command you to loose her mind and her head. His name. You have no authority. We plead the blood of Jesus over her mind. And we speak to the gatekeeper, the spirit of fear, come out. Come out instantly. You will leave. You will leave instantly.
We bind up family betrayal.
We bind up those spirits that come down the family line concerning Catholicism and religious spirits, and particularly the gypsy spirits. We break the line, all dedications, all sacrifices as a child, in Jesus' name, dedication to Satan, we break your powers. You come out instantly, immediately. You get out right now, immediately, in Jesus' name. No authority. You have no resting ground in Jesus' name. Every religious spirit. Now, you spirit of Antichrist, I bind you up, and you spirit of lawlessness, and you spirit of rebellion, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. All spirits of divination, fortune-telling, soothsaying, magic, stargazing, zodiac, horoscopes, witchcraft, witches, sorcery, enchanter, astrologer, you come out. In the name of Jesus, we bind up all secret societies in Jesus' name, coming down the family line. Heredity spirits of rebellion, Freemasonry, skepticism, ritualistic child abuse, spirited human sacrifice, we command to leave. You spirit of Antichrist, anyone that's laid their hands on this sister that belongs to the spirit of Antichrist, we break your powers right now. Black magic, black mass, high priest, racism, Satanism, false religion, fear. Come out. Come out. Palmistry. Come out. The name of Jesus. Do you have any problems with smoking cigarettes and drug addictions and alcohol?
Cigarettes.
Are you smoking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you right now?
Yeah.
No, not right now.
You don't do it anymore?
No, that's the one thing I've had a hard time stopping.
But you did stop?
No, it kind of go like I'm still smoking a little. I thought you meant like am I smoking right now? I'm sorry.
You see, you got to be honest with yourself. You say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you to help me to stop smoking.
I ask you to help me to stop smoking.
I put my will.
I put my will.
On your altar.
On your altar.
And I break the powers over my will.
And I break the powers over my will.
Satan.
And dependency. in the land.
Dependency.
And the dependency.
And I repent of cigarettes.
And I repent of cigarettes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
You never or alcohol or
No, I never had like a dependency. But you know what? I never thought of this before. Until you were actually just speaking to that woman. You know, I've had really bad things happen. We've had my home burned down. I've had meth addicts moving upstairs from me, cooking meth upstairs. I was probably inhaling, not meth, but like the cooking of it for a while because I didn't know what was going on upstairs.
Huh?
The neighbors in my old apartment that I rented were cooking meth upstairs and burnt the house down. So I think I was getting fumes. I didn't know what they were doing. I just knew I was getting sick for a while.
Okay, what we're going to do is take authority over the nicotine and the effect of the drugs.
Mm-hmm. Now, the drugs.
Nicotine, cigarettes, emphysema, cancer. The things from meth, the cigarette spirit, tobacco, pot. Did you do any pot?
Oh, very, very, very long time ago, like 20 years ago.
Okay. Say, I renounce the pot, too.
I renounce the pot.
And all of the effects over my mind and my lungs.
And all the effects over my mind and my lungs.
Now, I cough these devils out.
I cough these devils out.
And I cough the spirit of death out.
And I cough what out?
Death.
Death.
Now, you spirits of death, come out of those lungs. Cancer. Every spirit that's come to torment.
Every spirit that's come to torment.
Talking into this girl's mind. We bind to in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over her mind in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All bondage. We break your cords over her life, and we command the chains to drop off. In Jesus, we bind up addictions, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, food, fear of death, death spirits, servants of corruption, compulsive iniquity sins, bondage to sins, captivity to Satan, fears, offered to Satan as a sacrifice as a child. We break these powers, and even as an adult, multiple personalities, disorders, imagery, split personalities. How about films and reading books, like romance books and things like that?
I mean, what kind of books?
A romance and harlequin books and books, you know, worldly books like.
I haven't. And when you said romance, I thought of my grandmother. My grandmother's a Christian, but that's, I think, the one thing she did do. Books and TV, yes, I have in the past, but I don't watch. I don't even have a TV anymore. I can't handle anything, you know. It's been a long time. I don't know if this matters either, but when you were saying all that stuff, one of the things, I stopped talking about it because, you know, I guess, you know, the elder was just sort of like just talking me through things like, you know, I don't know what they did. You know, I know what people have told me in the past, and I get a little better. And there is a woman, Sylvia, who was my ex-boyfriend's cousin, who seems to be, I know what was going on beforehand, but his family did too. Like, she's out to get me. I mean, he said the Lord showed him that she's trying to, she literally took my life from me. She threatens me, like, what's the matter, Tracy? She's getting out. I didn't understand any of this, but I remember her laughing, like, you got to have an opening for this. Like, she knew about my family before I did.
Yeah.
She's really, she's, like, sadistic. Like, here's the thing. She cut my hair. She's cut my hair. She's given me stuff. You know, I think she's even slipped me. Yeah.
We're down to the time thing now. Get rid of what she gave you. We bind any.
Everything.
Listen to me. We bind any powers from that witch and break her cords, her soul traveling, her silver cord is broken. Every power over your mind is broken. Every power over every object is broken. And we command all of those to go, plus our death curses. Get out right now. Cough them out. In Jesus' name. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to take a deep breath and let the Holy fill those empty places with his fire. Deep breath. Now what I want is take a deep cough. Come out. The Holy Ghost is burning all hidden spirits out. Now, come out. Everyone. Okay. Now, I want to fill those places, and I want you to call us Friday, and we'll minister to you again, and get in the Word of God and let it play over you, okay? We have to go because we're getting down to the wire, and we'll talk to you Friday. 2:15, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Pat.
Hi.
This is Judge Paula. How are you?
Judge Paula. Got 2 minutes. 3 minutes. Well, we're doing
no,
good.
It's me. God bless you. I know I came in very, very late, and I've just been listening and, you know, praying with you guys. And Sabrina, how are you? God bless you. You all have been doing an excellent job just praying with people that I've heard. So I just wanted to call in just to say hello. I've been touching and agreeing with you.
See if you recognize this friend. Hello, friend. 405.
Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor Pat.
Judge Paula's on the phone.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I didn't know if it was, I heard a beep, I didn't know if it was saying for me or not, but this is Tammy from Oklahoma City, and I was just calling. I've been listening to the show and all the other previous shows, and as I was laying there listening, I was thinking, I said, God, Pastor Pat, she works so hard, Lord, and we take her through so much on Wednesdays and Fridays, and it just dawned on me that I just wanted to call in and say a prayer for Pastor Pat. Praise God.
Dude, because I've been working.
You most definitely have. And I was just laying there thinking, I said, Lord, so many are just, you know, dealing with all kinds of crazy. And I just thank God because he gives you the grace and the mercy to just handle it all. And I know time is running. So, Father God, I just want to thank you for Pastor Pat tonight, God, and all those who work with her, Lord. Father, I just pray that you will continue to give Pastor Pat the strength, God, to deal with everything, Father God, that we call in and lay on her plate. Father, I know when she hangs up, Father God, and she goes off the air, Father God, I know she don't just, you know, that it doesn't leave her. But, Father God, I know that it stays with her. So, Father, I'm asking you tonight, God, as she lay down and sleep, Father, I pray that you would give her sweet sleep. Father, I pray that you would give her sweet rest. Father, in the name of Jesus, every false burden, Father God, that has come, God, and has tried to lay heavy on her, Father, I pray that it be removed tonight. I pray that it be removed tonight, Father God, and all those that are working with her. Father God, everything that's off balance, Father God, I pray that it come back into balance. Father, I pray for her future. Father, everything that she set her hand to, God, Lord, I pray and thank you for continuing to bless it. Lord, I thank you for her long life, giving her long life, giving her health and strength. God, this general in the faith, Father, we thank you for her. God, we thank you for finances, God, to continue the work of the ministry, God. We thank you for favor. Father, continue to give her favor, God. Let the favor of God be upon her life, God. And anything, God, that she may have need of, Father, I thank you that it's supplied tonight, God. In Jesus' name, we just pray that you bless her, that you bless her home, that you keep her. And, Father, I just pray that finances will come come in, God, from the north, west, east, and the south. And Satan, we know that you have no power, no power whatsoever over this general in the faith. And we thank you for her tonight, God. And I just pray, God, that you put a dance in her feet. I pray, God, that you put a song in her mouth. And we just give you all the praise for Pastor Pat. And I know everybody out there listening, y'all feel the same way. We just bless you tonight, Pastor Pat, and all those working with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Bye bye. Thank you.
God bless.
Hey, be sure to tune in at 7:30. Judge Paul.
Yes.
Oh, shut up. Tell Sabrina to shut up, Judge.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear her.
Offering. Don't forget to send in the offering.
She wants you to pray for the offering, Judge.
Lord, we thank you for the finances and thank you for touching the hearts of the people to send in offerings to the ministry. We thank you for the abundant overflow and inflow into this ministry. We thank you for what you're doing. And just touch the hearts of the people all over, the ones who've received their healing and deliverance tonight, the ones who have been listening, the ones who are touched to give to this ministry. And we just thank you for them. Thank you for their generosity and thank you for their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Judge, how have you been doing?
I've been doing great. God is
good. Looking forward to you coming down.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to see what I can do to get down here.
I'll be here by the time you get here.
I'm sorry?
I said Bishop Kenko might be in Jacksonville. He's in New York.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk a bit about that.
We keep getting. How is our son?
Oh, he's doing exceptional. Preparing to go to school, so we're getting him in order to go to school next week.
You know, everybody loves you up here on this program, and they appreciate.
Oh my God.
And,
I love everybody. I love the ministry. I love the people that you work with. I love just the work that you do. And I think that I touch and agree with the lady who actually prayed for you from Oklahoma City that, you know, you're constantly, you know, in our prayers that God will just continue to keep you and will expand the ministry and that more and more people will understand what deliverance really means and the necessity of the ministry.
Thank you, Judge. We've had, since we started the show, we've had about 34, close to 35,000 people now.
Amen.
So God is blessed.
Yes, he is. Always.
Well, I'm looking forward to you coming in, and we're preparing our hearts. And no telling what God's going to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
I'm so glad you came up, and God bless you. And God
bless you.
Go with you, and we keep you up in prayer too, Judge, because we know what you do on your job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just lift up, Judge, and Sabrina wants to pray for you.
Father, in the name of God, we thank you, Lord God, for giving her additional favor, Father. We ask for your protection upon her, your divine protection. We thank you for increasing, Lord God, the number of angels that come to watch over her life and protect her and war on her behalf.
Thank you.
Family, in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over her, Lord, and every attack that's sent against her, we attack 1,000-fold with destruction in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for a long life. We thank you, Lord God, for even sharpening her in the gifts of the Spirit, Lord. I thank you and I give her life, and we ask that you continue to bless her finances and bless her ministry in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
And we'll see you very, very soon in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Loved one. I love it. Hey, how's that weight stuff doing? Did you lose any more?
Oh, yes, I'm doing very well and working out and getting toned up. So, listen, I'm excited. I feel good. I look good. You know, of course, I think good, and I serve the only one wise and true God. So now you know I'm just hitting on all cylinders here.
You know, it's a good way. Dr. Sabrina's losing weight.
Oh, yeah. I've been working out and toning up, so I really feel, you know, fabulous.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's I'm looking. I hope Sis comes down, too.
Yes, we're going to try to see what we can do to get there. But, of course, I'll keep you informed.
Okay, darling.
Okay.
Well,
all right, thank you. God bless you.
And hug the little one for me.
I certainly will do that.
Sleep?
Yes, he's asleep.
Okay, see you real soon.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
I love her so much. She's such an inspiration. You know, folks, when I first met Judge Paula, I don't know, I just saw Jesus in her eyes. And she was just such a sweet, mighty woman of God. And, you know, she's a real judge. And she is a real, honest-to-God judge, which means that she's a trained lawyer. And, you know, I don't like lawyers, but I like Judge Paula. Because Judge Paula, she just tells it like it is, you know. And we just, everybody up on Blog Talk, and they know Judge Paula up on Facebook. You know, she doesn't have a Facebook because she's a judge, but they ask, where's Judge Paula? Oh, well, she comes in. She's a busy lady, you know. She's got a ministry. And she also, of course, is a judge. So we just send our prayers, Father, to the city that she's in, and we cover that city with the blood of Jesus, and we take authority over all of the communist and the third wave ministries that are headed in that direction. And Father God, we bind those devils in the name of Jesus, of witches and warlocks that try to come against her as a judge and come against her as a ministry. We cover her son and her family with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we call for blessings into her life. And we ask you that you will give her the desires of her heart, for she's a lovely person. And Father, her life is committed and dedicated to you and your cause. And so we just stand in all agreement all over the world for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, you know, God is always great, and he's worthy to be praised. And we give him. So water.
against you.
Messiah, Jehovah, the mighty God.